Welcome to Citizen Church Online. Whatever platform you're watching from today, either Facebook Live or YouTube Live, we want you to make sure that you like our Facebook page and then go to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can stay up to date with all the latest things going on at Citizen Church. Also today, I would love for you to engage with me in my sermon just as you would if you were sitting in the auditorium today. And you can do that through the comment section. So if you like something, you can say amen, you can raise your hands, do whatever you want, but we would love for you to engage in community in the comment section, and we have moderators today that are going to be jumping in and answering any questions you might have. So once again, thank you for joining us today. I want to ask you a question today. I don't know if you've grown up in church or not, but I did, and have you ever been in a church building late at night with the lights off? I don't know what it is, but it is the most scary building to ever be in any church. I don't know why it's churches, but when the lights are off at night, it's like the walls come alive. And I remember being a little boy, and my dad was the youth pastor at that time, and part of his job was to lock up the church after events and after services. So there were hundreds of nights over the years when I was a little boy. I would be with my dad. I would want to stay with him and hang out, and we would stay till the end of a service or until the end of an event. And when everybody was gone, it was his job to lock everything up and set the security system. So I remember helping him and running through the halls, turning off lights in classrooms, and getting to the back of the building, all of the lights are off, and I would have to know every single time that in order for me to get back to the front doors where my dad was, I would have to walk through either a scary hallway or walk through the auditorium to get to where my dad was. And I was terrified of the dark when I was a little boy. Terrified. I mean, my imagination went wild and I started seeing demons coming out from everywhere. I was terrified. I would run through the building screaming. I would find my dad in the foyer and he would just be laughing his head off. But I remember one time going into a classroom, turning the lights off, and it was a choir room. It was such a huge room. And I was so afraid that night for some reason. I was paralyzed in fear, and I just sat down in the corner and I couldn't move. I heard a noise. I didn't know if somebody was in the room. My imagination was running wild, and I could not move. After several minutes, I could hear my dad yelling my name in the hall, and finally he found me, came into the room, and flipped the light switch, and the moment the lights came on, every ounce of fear went away. In 1 second, the darkness went away, light came into the room, and I was not afraid at all. It was as simple as the flip of a switch. And when I think about that story, what I want to share with you today, it's the exact same thing for us. And when you look in the Bible, there was a story right after Jesus had resurrected and ascended. He had told the disciples to go wait in an upper room. And just like I was afraid when I was a little boy, hiding in the corner of the room, that's what the Bible describes the disciples being like during this time. Because Jesus knew that he wanted them to wait because he was getting ready to send them a comforter, a helper, and a power that they needed to be the church. They were being hunted by the authorities at that time, and they were fearing for their lives, and they're waiting in this upper room of a building, paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by fear. But something happened. We see something happen in scripture, and just like when I was a little boy afraid of the dark, as soon as that switch was flipped, a switch was flipped in scripture as well. There was something that happened that day in the upper room as they're waiting for days and days and days. One day a power comes. One day a power comes, a comforter comes. One day everything changed. But what was it? What changed? It was a power, powerful enough to take the disciples from fear to faith. If you've been on social media a lot like I have over the last few weeks with all of this going on in our country right now and in the world with this pandemic, you've seen a whole lot of people in the Christian world and pastors posting these posts that say something like, faith over fear. Faith is greater than fear. And that's great. It's a very shareable thing on social media, but what does it actually mean? How can we actually go from fear to faith? How can we do that in our lives? Because when you look at the disciples hiding in the upper room, the Bible, all of a sudden, after this power, the Holy Spirit comes into this upper room like a mighty rushing wind. The Bible says they began to speak in other tongues. People outside the building had no idea what was going on. Peter was hiding, and the Bible starts zeroing in on him as the main character of this story. So after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, hiding in fear, the very next verse in the very next section says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Then Peter stood up with the other 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd." So they were hiding in fear, and all of a sudden they were filled with faith. And it was something that happened quickly. It was a switch that was flipped. And I want to tell you today, going into this message, that same kind of power is alive for me and for you today. If you have never in your life had that moment in life where that switch was flipped and you went from fear to faith, this right now, with everything going on in our society, this is the time, even before I go into my message, that I want to challenge you to be open today and understand that the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to where we see that phrase, faith over fear. That doesn't have to be something anymore that we only see on social media that seems like a pipe dream. That can be the story of your life today. So I want you to stay with me today. And before I go any further, we're in week 8 of a sermon series called Brick by Brick. And we started this sermon series at the beginning of February, a 10-part series. And what we're going over here at Citizen Church is our 10 core values, our brand new core values. This core value today is of the utmost importance. And this is how we worded it. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you today, are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Would you know what that means today? Do you feel that faith over fear in your heart, in your soul, in your life? Do you feel that kind of confidence when it comes to the things of God and the things in our world? Our theme verse for today is Luke 24, 49. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he ascends back to heaven. And he says this, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Wait here in the city. And again, I want to emphasize this, the importance that Jesus puts on the Holy Spirit. He's saying, all of the training that I've done with you disciples over the last 3 years, all of that is great. It was good. You needed it, but it's not good enough. You can't go and start to be the believers I want you to be the church I want you to be, until the Holy Spirit meets you and empowers you. Don't leave the city until the Holy Spirit comes. And what he's saying to us today is, don't go a step further. Don't try to face what's going on in the world today without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be clear about something. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I've joked about this a lot in the past, but the Holy Spirit isn't the crazy uncle of the Trinity. You know, a lot of people have different upbringings in church and different ideas and different opinions about the Holy Spirit, but I think it's so important and imperative for us today to study who the Holy Spirit is on our own. My prayer is this message today would inspire you to start a study, a personal study, about who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to be in your life. So the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. He is, in fact, God. And I also want to point out that this was not the beginning of the Holy Spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit was created all of a sudden at the beginning of Acts. The Holy Spirit has been a part of the world since the very beginning. Did you know that Genesis 1:2 tells us that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering above the waters at creation? During the creation story, the Holy Spirit was a part of the creation story. The Holy Spirit empowered Moses. He empowered Joshua. The Holy Spirit empowered Samson. The Holy Spirit empowered Gideon. I mean, if you know the story of Gideon, Gideon was the least of his clan, and he was a part of the least clan in all of the clans of Israel. And God filled him with his Spirit, which allowed him to lead 300 men into a battle against 20,000, and they won. The Holy Spirit has been a part of the story of Christianity and a part of the human story from the very beginning, empowering people, but also equipping people, giving gifts and giving supernatural talents and abilities. It's not just a fairy tale at all. It's not just a story. This is real. The stories in Scripture where the Spirit came upon people and did amazing things are real. So I want to ask again, are you filled? Are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? Romans 8:11 also tells us about the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." I want you to think about that. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in you. What is this saying? This is huge, and I need you to get this. The same power that raised Jesus from the clutches of death and brought him to life, that defied death, hell, and the grave, that power is alive for you and me. Do you have that power? Today, I'm going to go into 6 things that the Holy Spirit came to do, and I'm going to fly through these, and this is what my hope is, that you'll take notes on these and engage in our virtual small groups. I want you to be a part of our small groups. There should be some information later on about how you can jump into those small groups, but I also want to say this. We have a small group system also, separate but the same, at our church called Alpha. Alpha is a multi-week process where people meet together, and now it's virtual, and we're getting ready to launch a virtual Alpha. Alpha is a process that you go through weeks, and you discover, what does the Word of God really teach me? Who is God? Who is Jesus? Why do I need Jesus in my life? But I'm telling you this today about Alpha, because when you get to the middle of this Alpha course, it does this amazing job of teaching you who the Holy Spirit is, how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what I love about Alpha is it does it in the context of a group setting, much like the early believers that I'm preaching about today, much like they experienced the Holy Spirit. So information is coming up on the screen, should be right below me right now, letting you know about Alpha and the link that you can go to sign up. My prayers that you would sign up for this. What a great time right now to learn about who God is, what he wants for your life, who the Holy Spirit is, and how you can be filled with him. So again, 6 things the Holy Spirit came to do. Number 1, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit came to help. Number 1, to help. What do I mean by that? John 14:26 says this. This is, again, Jesus talking. "However, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. He will remind you of everything I have ever told you." However, Jesus said, however, the helper. What does the word helper mean here in the original language? The word helper can also mean advocate. The word helper can mean the one that comes alongside. It can also mean protection or counsel. I love this word helper, because this idea that the Holy Spirit comes alongside, what that means is you're not alone. You're not alone in decision-making. You're not alone even if you're physically alone right now during this quarantine process. You're actually not alone, because the Holy Spirit, if we are filled with the Spirit, is our helper. He's our advocate. He's the one that comes alongside. You're facing a trial right now in your business or your family or your finances. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He's your helper. The second thing the Holy Spirit came to do, number 2, he came to teach. So number 1, he came to help. Number 2, he came to teach. John 14:26 again said this. I'm going to focus on a different part. "However, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything." I love that. That's a bold statement. Will teach you everything. Another translation says, will teach you everything you need to know. He will remind you of everything I have ever told you. I don't know about you, but have you ever read the Bible and it just feels overwhelming at times? I know it feels like that a lot to me. Sometimes you can read, and if you're like me, maybe have a little bit of ADD, I'll go 3 pages reading the Bible, and then all of a sudden like wake up from my trance and realize I didn't take in anything I just read. I need to go back and reread it. And sometimes when we're reading the Bible, we'll read scriptures or stories or passages, and it might mean something to us, but we get done reading for that day and we don't understand the depth of the meaning yet. What I love about the Holy Spirit, when Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as a teacher, how he comes to teach, is at different times the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the depth of the truth in what you're reading at different times in your life as you need it. So what you're reading today, it may not seem like the most revolutionary, life-changing idea, but in 3 weeks from now, the Holy Spirit might remind you of what you read today, and in that moment, it will be life-changing and revolutionary. So number two, the Holy Spirit came to teach. Number three, the Holy Spirit came to convict. Now, I know that word convict is maybe a little bit intense, but I want you to bear with me and think through this because I want you to know the real meaning of the word. John 16:8 said this. Again, this is Jesus talking. He will come to convict the world of sin, to show the world what has God's approval, and to convince the world that God judges it. So this is important. He will come to convict the world of sin. Now, when you first read this, if you're someone who maybe you're not a Christian, or maybe you're new to the church world, or maybe you were just scrolling through Facebook Live or got an alert and you're just on here for some reason listening, I want you to really get this part. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is one of the Holy Spirit's greatest gifts. Because what this does, if you can imagine, here in Albuquerque, we have mountains. And when you're driving up to the top of the mountain, there's the road narrows and there's guardrails on both sides of this narrow road. Conviction is kind of like guardrails. When you're getting too close to the edge, conviction comes in and gives you that soft nudge of, I'm getting too close to the edge of sin. I'm starting to feel convicted for how close to the edge I'm getting. And it's a reminder from the Holy Spirit, the pain of falling off the edge is far worse than the perceived pain right now of what you could be missing out on. Because what sin says is get close to the edge of sin because you're missing out on fun. You're missing out on something. Get a little bit closer to the edge. Conviction comes in, steps in, and pulls us back to the middle saying, trust me, the pain of what's on the other side of that edge is far worse than the pain you feel now of feeling like you might be missing out. That's what conviction is. Conviction draws us back to repentance. You know, the Bible says it's God's kindness that leads us back to repentance. And that's how I want us to view conviction today, not as this firm hand of guilt, because that's what the enemy does. Satan is the one who gives the weight of guilt and condemnation. The Holy Spirit is the soft nudge, loving nudge of conviction. Number four, the fourth thing the Holy Spirit came to do is to guide. This is huge too, to guide, especially for where we're at in the world right now, because when we get through this pandemic, and we will, when we get to the other side, we don't really know what it's gonna look like for our businesses, for our jobs, for our families. Life might look a little bit different when we get through this. One amazing part of the Holy Spirit is that he came to guide us. And I'm gonna read John 16:13, and I want you to think about how profound this is, and I'll touch on this for a second. John 16:13 says, when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the full truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into the full truth. This word guide is important because, like I was mentioning, when we get through this pandemic, we're gonna be wanting and asking. One of the biggest questions we'll be asking is, what is God's will? What, God, what do you want for my life now? What do I do with my job? What do I do with my finances? What do I do about gatherings when we're allowed to? Do we meet? Do we not? What do I do? There's so many large questions coming that we're gonna need the answer to. Also, especially if you're in your late teens or 20s, you are facing so many decisions, whether you're in this season or when all of this is over. I mean, you're wanting to decide, what college am I gonna go to? Should I be dating this person? Should we get married? What career path am I going to choose? These decisions will shape the rest of your life. And one of the promises of the Holy Spirit is to guide us. So when you think about God's will, we say here at Citizen Church, there's three security checkpoints when you're wanting to find out what God's will is. The first security checkpoint is God's word, the Bible. Bounce every decision off. What does the truth of the word of God say? If what we want to do contradicts it, it's not the word of God, or it's not the God's will for our life. The second part is godly counsel. What godly people do you have around you that you have allowed to speak into your life to help shape you when you are seeking God's will? And the third security checkpoint is the Holy Spirit. Saying a simple prayer, Holy Spirit, guide me. As I grow closer to you, guide my every step. So the Holy Spirit came to guide. Number five, the Holy Spirit came to intercede. The Holy Spirit came to intercede. Romans 8:26 in the Passion Translation says, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times, we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. If you're like me, I know you've been in times in prayer where you've been so overwhelmed with life and decisions and different things going on. I'll be honest, I've been in that place even in the last few weeks, and I haven't even known exactly what to pray. But as I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, I know even in my sighs and my groans to heaven that the Holy Spirit is stepping in. It means to step in the middle on someone's behalf. The Holy Spirit is praying on my behalf even when I don't know what to pray for. Number six, and this is an important one, the Holy Spirit came to empower. To empower. This is huge. I could do an entire sermon series just on this point, but let me read again. This is our theme verse. I'll read it again. Luke 24:49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. It wasn't just the promise of the Holy Spirit, but he also showed them what the Holy Spirit would do to fill them with power. So I want to pause just for a second. We did a sermon series 2 years ago called Same Power. Part two, week two of that sermon series, it's on our YouTube channel. I want you, if you're interested in this, to really go, if you want to know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, a little bit more in-depth teaching on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, more than what I'm about to share, I encourage you to go to week two of Same Power, and I do a full breakdown of the gifts and what they mean and how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to do that. But also, moderators right now are going to be in the comments right now sharing some links to that Same Power series. But also, even if you have questions right now, our moderators would love to even answer those to the best of their ability to engage with you in the comment section. So here's the big question at the end of the message today. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? How do we receive what the Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, virtually every denomination, every sect of Christianity agrees on something, believe it or not. In this topic, we believe that there's salvation through Jesus, water baptism, which is an outward demonstration of an inward transformation. It's going public with your faith. It's symbolic. And then there is this third part, the second baptism, which the Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Spirit in multiple different parts of the New Testament. Luke 3:16 is a great example of that. John the Baptist is speaking here, and he says this, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. He's talking about Jesus. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's saying Jesus will do that. And we just read a few minutes ago in Luke 24, Jesus, it shows us when Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit, when he said, go to the upper room and wait. That was the process. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean for you today? This word baptized in the original language means to be overwhelmed by. It means to plunge yourself into. It means to be drenched and overflowing. It's not this super complicated thing that I'll be honest, a lot of different groups and denominations have made this so overly complicated and unattractive. The Holy Spirit, as supernatural as he is also practical. And let me tell you today, I would not be where I am today, even standing here, if I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 7 years old at a church kids camp. That's when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I continually operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. When I come to the end of my authority and my power, we have to step into His authority and His power. I want to illustrate this real quick with you, just with a sponge and a bucket of water. When you take a sponge, an old sponge, these old sponges are, they're hard and they're coarse. And it doesn't even feel like it could be a sponge. It doesn't feel like it could even soak in the water. But when you place the sponge in water, the edges start to soften. And then you begin to push it down. And the whole sponge now is softened and it's filled with water. So in essence, the sponge is in the water, but the water is also in the sponge. And this is the exact depiction of what the Bible was talking about when it says being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in the Spirit is an encounter that I have with God, that I have with the Holy Spirit, where I say the Holy Spirit, in the same way this sponge is in the water and the water is in the sponge, that's the encounter I want to have with you. I want to be overwhelmed by you. I want to invite you into my life, you and me and you, to be soaked. And what's so amazing about this image is when you take the sponge, this soaked sponge out of the water and begin to squeeze, the water begins to pour out with what the sponge was filled with, with what the sponge was filled with. And it's the exact same thing with us today. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, just as I lifted that sponge out of the water, something began to pour out of it. When I invite the Holy Spirit into my life and I have that encounter, that power begins to flow out of me. It's not my power, it's His power. When you looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, the gift of faith and wisdom, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues, there's so many amazing gifts, the gift of healing, that are right there that God says, I want to empower you with these supernatural gifts, but the gateway is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because it can't be in your power, Jesus says. It has to be in mine. You know what's so amazing about the Holy Spirit, to maybe put you at ease? If you're not familiar with the Holy Spirit and you're wondering, who is He? Well, we're familiar with Jesus. We know Jesus as kind, loving, genuine, soft, and understanding, and empathetic. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So here's how I want to end today. I think one of the most powerful prayers you can ever pray in your life is the prayer where we just say, come, Holy Spirit. Right where you are in your house, wherever you're watching, in your car, whatever. Here's what I want you to do. Just for a second, I want you to eliminate distractions. And I want you to ask yourself, have I been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because let me tell you something, you're gonna need this power over the course of the next few weeks and months. Operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's be the church. Let's be the church empowered. Remember, Jesus said, don't go do anything until you're empowered. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads right where you are. And if you want to, you can even outstretch your arms kind of in a receiving posture. Just a physical demonstration of what your spirit is doing right now, this openness. And I just want you to say out loud, even gathering your kids around. I remember I was filled at 7 years old. And I just want you to pray, whether you're alone or with your family or with your spouse, I just want you to pray, come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to empty myself out. I'm tired of being behind the wheel. I'm tired of holding on to control. I want you in my life. I want to be baptized right now in the Holy Spirit, not by my power, but yours. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this room, fill this living room, fill this bedroom, fill this car, fill this workplace with your spirit right now. Come into my life. I and you and me, I want to be overwhelmed by you, Holy Spirit. Empower me. Right where I am. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to just encourage you today, wherever you're watching, thank you for being a part of Citizen Church Online. I love you guys. I want you to take this message seriously today. Teach it to your children. Study it on your own. Because let me tell you something. The power of the Holy Spirit is needed and alive for you today. Thank you.